went down, broke her arm in three places. So ambulance had to come and take her. They wouldn't let me go because they don't let people in the ER because of the COVID stuff. So it was a hard day. But she's recovering. She has to keep her arm in a sling for 2 weeks. She can't move it. And if any of you know my mom, that's not an easy thing to do. And then she can't have physical therapy for 6 weeks after that. So she's at Redstone, so keep her in your prayers. Sheila will offer. And if you want to call her on the phone, you can call over there and cheer her up a little bit. Wanted to welcome everybody who's here in the building, also online on YouTube, as well as graceradio.fm. And beginning of a new year, huh? Pray that it'll be easier than this past year. It's been a challenge, right? People are still getting COVID. People are recovering. That's a good thing, right? And my grandson has it now. Fortunately, we weren't together over the holiday, so that's a good thing. But anyway, just keep your eyes on Jesus with all these transitions and challenges of everyday life, whether it's COVID or something else that the new year might bring, heartache, heaviness in your heart. May the Lord Jesus be your source of strength. And as we sang in the beginning, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen. The joy of the Lord is our strength. So let's pray. And yes, sir. The kids should already be over there. Okay, go ahead, guys. Sorry. See ya. I think they're right next door waiting for you guys. God bless you. See ya. Thank you, Lewis. Pray for Pastor Lewis and Terry. They're heading to Ireland on the plane tomorrow out of Dallas. They're going to visit Kaysen over there in Ireland. He's playing pro basketball. And are they playing again, Lewis? Are they all out of quarantine, the team?
Yeah, but they had to cancel the game last Sunday because of quarantine.
Yeah, but they're okay now, huh? Good. So anyway, pray for them to have a wonderful time and to come back safely, okay? Let's pray for the word today. Lord, we thank you for your presence, and your joy is our strength, Lord, no matter what is happening in this world and in our lives. As we look to you, we think of your example before us. If anybody had pressures and tensions and difficulty and challenges in this world, it was definitely you coming in human skin, fully God, fully man, to come and die. Your purpose of your birth was to come and eventually die on a cross and atone for our sins. And Lord, we're so grateful for your example. That's why the Apostle Paul told us continually, looking unto Jesus, not to anyone else, anything else, not to ourselves, but looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. I pray today, Holy Spirit, that you would take your word and fill our hearts with it and teach us some things that maybe we never thought about before. Lord, as we receive your word, may it go in good soil and produce fruit so that in this new year we'll experience some of the principles that we'll learn today from the parable of the talents. And again, we pray for any special needs that we may not know about here today with people's hearts that may be heavy, situations in family, marriages, health issues, Lord, finances, jobs, or whatever it might be. I pray that this new year would be blessed of you, Father, and that this could be the year that the Lord would return. And we would pray that would come to pass for your glory and for your honor. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So I wanted to look at John chapter 15 initially before we go into the parable of the talents in Matthew. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And I'm thinking about anybody that communicates spiritual things to other people, whether it's pastors or teachers or brothers and sisters sharing the word, husbands, wives, family. We can know a lot in our head, but how much of it's real in our heart? And that's always the challenge. There's a amount of distance between the brain and the heart. And the Lord wants the word to be activated in our heart so it changes our lives and that we become different people. Just not educated about the word of God, but transformed by the word of God. And so before we get into the parable of the talents, I was thinking the impact of this chapter 15 briefly in John talks about this relationship that we have to Christ by abiding in him. So I'm going to read it and just make a few comments and then we'll go into Matthew. But Jesus is teaching here. He says, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. So everything that happens in our lives as believers comes out of us because of Christ living in us. We're not independent of the vine. The vine represents Jesus. The branches represent you and me. And here's the newlyweds coming in. They're getting here a little late. So just clap your hands. They're getting married after church. So let's. Grace had to fix your hair a little bit. So, you know, we're doing it at 1:30. You got to get organized. But anyway, with this vine is Jesus and we're the branches. So when we read this, someone who understands horticulture is aware of the fact that in order to get a vine to be producing more flowers or fruit, it has to periodically be trimmed back, cut, pruned, right? And we also have to be pruned, all of us. God trims our hearts. He cuts us. He's gentle. He loves us. But it's never a lot of fun going through the cutting process. But whenever you know you're being pruned, just be encouraged, even though it's not real maybe exciting or joyful in the beginning. It's going to eventually produce a lot more power through your life, and Jesus is going to be able to be seen through your life a lot more. And so the purpose of the pruning is that we would bear fruit, and not just bear fruit, but bear much fruit. So the Lord is always looking at what he can squeeze out of us, if you may, to bring an abundant harvest. And every one of us that belong to him, he knows there's potential in each of our lives spiritually. To just not make our lives blessed, but to make other people's lives blessed. So the fruit that's in your life is really just not for you to enjoy, but it's also for you to manifest it so that other people are blessed and encouraged by what's in your life in Christ. So he says in verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He's again helping us to understand it's all, he's the source of this spiritual life. And who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. So the encouraging thing is, as you're walking with the Lord, as you're abiding in him, you don't have to artificially try to manifest something in your life that you can't produce, because it's all of Christ, isn't it? It's all of him. So if someone comments or compliments you about something, about your impact on them spiritually, just always be mindful of the fact it's all Jesus. It's all his life. Without his life in us, there would be no fruit. There would be no blessing. And so then he says, for without me, you can do nothing. And may we understand that in 2022, that whatever our goals are, whatever our plans are, we need to bring those things before the Lord and ask him to guide us in his way and what his purposes are. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I've spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. So it isn't just about this fruit, but it's also blessing us with joy. It's interesting you guys started that worship today. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And how at times our joy is impacted by circumstances of life, and we get discouraged or we get joyless or we get depressed or despondent. But we have to remember that there's two lives that are being lived simultaneously. We have this human existence of work and toil, labor and adversity and trials and difficulty. But we also have this life in Christ that has overcome all these other obstacles that we all encounter. So we can live a life that sort of floats above the circumstances and the adversity, even though it's still there. It's not consuming us. Christ is consuming us, and he's giving us joy in the midst of what we're encountering or what we're going through, that everything's under control because he's in control, no matter what it looks like out there and what's happening in you, to you personally right now. The Lord is wanting you to be experiencing his love as he experienced the love of the Father continually, and that we would live in the power of this love, and that we would manifest this love to one another so that people would know we belong to Jesus. And he said he's teaching us these things in verse 11, that his joy will stay in us. It won't be leaking out of us where we don't have it, no matter what. That this joy will be consistent, and that it won't just be half full, but it'll be completely full. And that, again, is not something you turn a switch on or you try to make happen. It's a promise, and it's a spiritual reality. If we're abiding in the Lord, we're going to have this joy. And sometimes people say, well, how can you be so joyful in what you're going through? Because you're staying close to Jesus. You're abiding in him. And that is a very, very fundamental principle of what it means to be a child of God, a believer in Jesus Christ. The world doesn't have that. So let's go over to Matthew now, and we'll look at this parable, the talents. And it's interesting. I didn't have to come up with some kind of sermon for New Year's. This is just really where I left off. And it's fascinating to me as to what I personally received from this as I was studying it, that this is really laid out so that we might look at this year in a way of providing a abundant flow of blessing out of our lives for God's glory and for the blessing of other people. And so New Year's resolutions, right? Everybody has them. But this isn't a New Year's resolution. This is a New Year challenge from our Creator God, that he wants us to manifest fruit by being responsible for what he's entrusted us with. And so I'm going to read the parable in verse 14 of chapter 25, and then we'll make some comments. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. And then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you've delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I've gained 5 more talents beside them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also, who had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents beside them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he came and he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But the Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So this could be paralleled with what's called the law of reciprocity, or also the law of sowing and reaping. If you sow abundantly, you'll reap abundantly. If you sow superficially or meagerly, you're going to reap meagerly. So the Lord in his creation has designed what the culture would not perhaps appreciate today, but it is it's capitalism. Our God is a capitalist. He's not a socialist. Our God is a capitalist. He's always wanted to see abundance and prosperity. He's wanted to see people flourish and be successful. He's always wanted that whatever it is in you and me that gives us passion and life to drive us to be as successful as we can for His glory and for the sake of family and His kingdom. And so He's showing us here in this teaching how He values investment. Investment first in us, but investment in His kingdom. Now, the application of this would be we all have talents or abilities or gifts or skills. But it isn't really talking about that. You can make an application to that. Every one of you in this room today have abilities and talents that God wants you to use for His glory and in His kingdom. And many times we as Christians sit around and we don't do what it is that God's created us to do or gifted us to do because either we're intimidated or we're fearful or we're just afraid or it's overwhelming. And we think somehow we have to do whatever it is that we're feeling a sense that we need to do without understanding that without Him we can't do anything. So Christ is the source of the calling and the gifting and the ability and the abundance. It all comes from His hand. And so this is all about stewardship. Are we going to be good stewards of what it is that God's entrusted us with? Or are we just going to squander and waste our lives away? When we stand before the Lord one day, we will give an account for our lives, everything we've done in the body, whether good or evil, the Bible says. There won't be a chance to go back in time and correct some things that we should have taken care of when we were actually living our lives. And so when the Lord begins to teach on this principle, He's liking it to His kingdom, which is in heaven. The man traveling to the far country is our Lord. He will come back one day, and we will give an account for what it is He's put upon our hearts, so the calling we have in our lives. I think all of us are intimidated when we're compelled to perhaps serve the Lord in some kind of capacity, whether it's serving in a worship team or helping a brother or sister in the church or teaching the kids in the Sunday school, which we always need more help in. Something in the body that helps the church become healthier and stronger when we gather because of the participation of one another, our financial giving, our prayer ministries, whatever it might be that we're compelled to be deeply rooted in, has an impact on everything that's done in the kingdom of heaven. And so He calls His own servants. So these three people appear to be people that know Him, and He knows them, and He has a relationship with them. Though some of your commentaries might say that the third servant wasn't a believer, he was an unbeliever. I mean, that could be a stretch, because only God knows who's the believer and the unbeliever anyway. But the bottom line is all three of these people were given an opportunity to do something here. Okay? Privilege, really. And He called these people because He knew that they did have the ability to do what it is He's told them to do. God will never call you or me to do something that we don't have the innate, and I wouldn't call it natural ability, but God-given ability to do what it is that we're called and designed to do. He knows our bandwidth. He knows what we can handle and He knows what we can't handle. So I love the illustration here and how He lays these talents out. And so He delivers His goods to them. And to the one He gave five talents, to another two, and to the other one, to each according to his own ability. And immediately He went on a journey. So He's trusting them to do what it is they need to do, basation of way need to do, right? These talents are a representation of weighted measure of silver and gold. They say that the equivalence of one talent would be equated to 15 to 20 years of labor of someone who lived at that time. So it wasn't a small amount of money that they were being entrusted with. The one that got, the most talents, obviously, he had good business acumen. The Lord wouldn't have given him that much potential if he didn't have the ability to expand what it was that the Lord had entrusted him with. Okay? Same thing with the second individual. He also had ability, but didn't quite have the same ability as the person who was given the five talents. He got two. But I love what the Lord said to these two guys when they were faithful. We'll read that. So he who had received the five talents in verse 15 went and traded with them and made another five talents. So he doubled what it was that the Lord had given him to manage. I don't know how he did it. There was no stock market then, but there was ways of expanding wealth, whether it was selling or buying something and then selling something for more than what they bought it for. I mean, there was all different ways that they did commerce back in those days, trading sheep or goats and all that kind of stuff. They had plenty of those kind of animals. The person that received in verse 17, the two gained two more also. These guys both were very, very responsible in regard to what it was that they were challenged to do. But he who had received one went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with him. Now, put yourself in this parable in regard to what it is you do with your life right now. Life is passing quickly. We're in 2022. That means we're all going to be a year older this year. Not going to be a year younger. We're going to be a year older. And we only have so many years to live. So what are we living for? What's the purpose of our life? What's the potential that God has placed in each of us for the new year? What is it that he wants to see us multiply in our own life individually and corporately as a church family? Now, whenever God speaks to us about something, it's real easy to not want to listen sometimes, especially if it's giving of yourself, your time, your talents, and your treasure. We should be the most giving people because of what God's given to us, right? His indescribable gift he gave to us. I mean, we owe the Lord everything, and we could never pay him back for what he's done for us. But we really do owe him everything. I love what the Apostle Paul understood this principle. He said, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's like the least we can do after what he's done for us, right? And he says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So that's the baseline of what God's expectations are of all of us as his kids, that we're not like the world. We're not living like the culture. We have brand new hearts, brand new lives because of life in Christ. And we want to continually, and this isn't a one-time sacrifice. It's a morning, daily offering to God. This is a new day, Lord. What is it that you have in store for me today as I surrender my will to you to do what it is that you have a plan to do today in this new day of life? Instead of just getting up and being groggy and grabbing a coffee and reading the paper and watching the news or whatever and not having any kind of conversation with the Lord, just getting up and moving and going, and we've been there, we've done that. Just to stop for a minute and say, hey, God, this is a new day. A new day of mercies. Each day, new mercies are being bestowed upon us. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All that I've needed, thy hand hath provided. God, you've taken care of me. You've got a roof over my head. You've given me resources to buy food and to do other things. And man, I mean, you're the greatest father I could ever imagine having, right? He's so merciful and so loving and so patient. So this one guy, maybe we can identify with him. The guy that hid the Lord's money. Now, he didn't spend it. He hid it. And whenever the Lord came back, he was going to give it back to him. Hey, I still have it. But the Lord's like, I've given you this life for a purpose, not to hide your life or hide your light or not be involved in whatever it is in your career, your marriage, your relationships with others, your relationship in my church and my kingdom and the body. He just doesn't want us to just not do nothing, right? Which many of us for many years do nothing, right? I mean, it's just being honest, being real. I remember sitting in churches and the Lord compelling me to trust Him, to be used by Him, and I wasn't interested. Not me, Lord, someone else. And I see people go to altar calls at mission meetings and people surrendering their lives for world evangelism and full-time missions, and some would end up going and leaving, and some wanted to go, but their life wouldn't allow them to go, but at least their heart was in a place of openness to the Lord. But, you know, as we study this today, as the Lord may be speaking to your heart as He is to mine, just ask Him, Lord, is there something I'm missing in regard to the calling of why You created me? Is there a ministry You have for me? Is there something You want me to serve in and surrender to? And I'll tell you, in the principle here of what we're learning, you can't outgive God, let alone can you not ever be upset because you surrendered your life to God, because the promises here will be manifest here in regard to what we continually read here in verse 20. He who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, You delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I've gained 5 more talents beside them. The Lord, this is what the Lord says. The Lord's looking for faithfulness, not percentages. Right? He's looking for faithfulness. The Lord says to him, well done, good and faithful servant. Man, can you imagine the Lord telling you that at the end of your life? Lord, I didn't do much. But He's going to say, yeah, but you did enough. You did what I wanted you to do. You didn't squander or waste your life away or my resources away. You did what it was I told you that I wanted you to do based upon the teaching of the Bible. He said to this guy, you were faithful over a few things, and I will make you ruler over many things. So 5 talents, that's a lot. Like I said, the amount of money that would be equivalent to is 15 to 20 years of work times 5. That's a lot. But in the Lord's economy, it's nothing really. He owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. He doesn't need you or me, but He chooses to use you and me for His glory and for His purposes and to bless us. Because not only was this person responsible for multiplying the talents, but the Lord says to him, a favor. He gives him favor. Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. So, in other words, the expansion of this man's opportunity now has gone up astronomically. There's no limit. Okay, well, what's the ruler over many things? Well, who knows? I mean, we don't have any more texts here, but there were this person's life was truly overwhelmingly blessed. And not only with physical, tangible resources. In this case, it would have been prospering financially and in his business dealings and his relationships, all those kind of things. But he said also that he would enter into the joy of the Lord. In other words, when you serve the Lord, there should be a joy in your life because He wants to bless you. He's pleased when you're serving Him. He wants you to experience that joy that we all desperately need. And then he goes to the person who had the 2 talents. Now, he didn't say like, well, this person isn't as important as the person who had the 5. That was never in the conversation. But the Lord knows all of our abilities here. He knows what, there's no way I could have been a missionary because I've never hunted and never killed anything. I think I fished one time and I got bored because the fish didn't bite on the line. I'm not going to bring fish home for Cindy to cook. I just don't have the time. I never built anything. I have no mechanical ability. I'm not kidding you. I do not have any brains in my hands. So as a missionary, you have to build jungle huts. You have to know how to live in the jungle and how to kill things. And, you know, and so when I was in the missionary second phase of the training, I'm like a square peg in a round hole. I'm out of my element. And my wife, she's all gung-ho because she can do all that other stuff. She's the one who has the tools and all that. You know? And I just said to her, honey, I just don't think we can do this. Well, why? And then I explained to tell her, because we were supposed to go to jungle camp for 6 weeks, and you had to go up and take your supplies, figure it all out ahead of time, because once you got there, you couldn't go back down to the Ace Hardware or whatever it was back in those days to get the supplies. It'd be like being in the jungle. Once they drop you off in a plane and they leave, good luck. See ya. Until they come back again. So first of all, I didn't even know what to get, what to do with what I got, right? So I just said, I just don't think we can do it, you know. So I went to the leaders of the camp, of the mission, and I said, look, you know, I said, I just don't think I'm supposed to be here anymore. I mean, I'm totally committed to what it is you guys are doing. I want to be involved in it, but I can't be involved in it as a full-time missionary. And I'll never forget the leader of that particular camp. He just looked at me and smiled. He says, Clark, that's okay. He says, we just want to see you count for the Lord no matter what you do. What a blessing. He didn't condemn me because I knew I couldn't do that. He just was probably praying, Lord, help him find whatever it is that might be more in his line of natural gifting or whatever. So these things that we're studying today, the Lord understands our limitations. I mean, sometimes someone wants, they think what I do is like the most important thing, and it really isn't. It's just one of the things, being a pastor teacher. It's to equip you. Equip the saints for the work of the ministry. It had nothing really to do with me. I'm just like a talker. One guy said, all we do is lip sync for God as pastors. That's really what we do. The truth of the word of God. We got excellent material, right? But this is not the goal, this place up here. This is just one of the callings. The goal is for you and me as the body, in our workplace, in our family, in our neighborhood, in our community, to be salt and light on an everyday basis. Because we're going to all reach people independently of one another. You guys have a sphere of influence that I'll never have, and vice versa. And so we allow the Lord to use us in these places that we are. The mom in the house, you might, I can't get out, I'm watching kids all day. Hey, the highest calling of a woman in your early years is to be a mom to your kids, to teach them, to be with them, to love them, to nurture them. You can't do that once they grow up. You got to do it when they're little and they're babies. And I mean, sometimes the culture makes mothers feel like what they do isn't that important. It's really one of the highest callings you can have, to be a mom. And you're a mom your whole life. Even when your kids are growing up and they're moved out or whatever, you're always mom to them. And so this other person that had the two talents, the Lord says exactly the same thing to him in verse 22. He also, who had received two talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered to me two talents. Look, I have gained two more talents beside them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things, but I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. The exact same response from the Lord. It wasn't, well, this guy got five. He's special, so I'm putting him over here on this pedestal. You did okay. Not quite as good, but no, the Lord's economy is rooted in being faithful, because the abundance flows really from the throne of grace all the time anyway. We just get a chance to be used in these different capacities. So the promise of blessing was on this person too, and he did what he was supposed to do, and God obviously prospered him and blessed him and gave him greater responsibilities down the road. Then he, in verse 24, he who had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, and gathering where you have not scattered seed. Now, how in the world would he come up with this? There was no indication of the relationship of the man, the Lord himself, who was that kind of person. This person had a false understanding of who he was serving. And maybe sometimes we have a false understanding of the God we serve. We feel like he loves everybody else, but he puts up with us, right? He smiles at you guys, but he frowns at me. I sometimes think that. That's just not clear thinking. God's smiling on all of us. He loves all of us. We're his kids. He smiles on us when we're foolish, and he smiles on us when we're obedient. We break his heart, but he never stops loving us. He never turns his eyes away from us. He never does not come after us as his kids, the bride. He cherishes us. But this person had a distorted image of the Lord. But more important, he was very insecure in his ability that God gave him. He wouldn't have given him what it was he gave to him to reproduce if he didn't know the servant had the capacity and ability to do what the other two did. He knew he wasn't quite as dynamic, if you may, in business dealings as the one that had the 5 talents, but that didn't make him any less important, did it? Because the Lord just said, I'm going to give you 1 instead of 5. If he had 5, he would have probably really messed it up, right? But the Lord gave him 1, and that was just enough for him. But what he did, it says he was afraid in verse 25 and went and hid the talent, your talent, in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. So it's like your life right now, my life. We don't know how much time we have. But we have this opportunity right now, especially as we study things like this, to say, what's the plan, God? What's the purpose? It's more than just getting up and going to work and making money, coming home, raising kids, go to bed, start all over again, right? There's a depth of God's plan and calling in each of our lives. And many of us haven't found what it is that will give us the most joy and passion in our life. We might be in a career that we've been very successful in or whatever, but there's sometimes something missing. Maybe it's another assignment in the same company that we're hoping we get, we pray about, and that's really our dream. Or maybe it's another career path or another kind of job, or maybe it's, you know, wanting to do something in the church, you know, that you can be used by the Lord in a special way. Everybody has a dream. And there's nothing wrong with dreams, because God gives us dreams to actually realize when they're birthed in our hearts by him. He doesn't play with our heads or play with our minds. He puts something in front of us to cause us to be drawn to it. And some things are drawing us for many, many years. But maybe we're afraid of being involved in it, because what if it doesn't work out? What if I fail? What if I'm perceived as being a loser or whatever? God never perceives any of us like that. He's wanting to prompt us to trust him by faith to go deeper in the water and places we've never swam before, maybe. To test us. To see, are we trusting him? Are we trusting ourselves? This man was trusting himself in verse 25. I was afraid. Instead of trusting in the Lord with all of his heart. Instead of leaning in his own understanding, which he was here, unfortunately, because he was afraid, he should have been leaning in the understanding of God. Because God promised that if we do that, he will direct our paths. Right? So it's like, how far do you want to go with God in this life? How deep do you want to be with God? Do you want to give him a chance to talk with you about something that's on his heart that he wants to reveal to you, that if you fulfill what it is he has for you, you're going to be blessed beyond anything you could ever imagine? Doesn't matter how young, how old you are here today, God's never finished with us until we leave this world. And especially older people, we think, well, when we retire, we just do nothing. And there's nothing wrong with having leisure time, but retirement's more than nothing. I think of Ray Kroc, McDonald's founder, and Colonel Sanders, Kentucky Fried Chicken. These guys had their success in their late 70s and 80s. Why did all of a sudden they come alive at that age? Well, God had a plan. Truett Cathy, the owner of the Chick-fil-A, godly man. He used that whole infrastructure of Chick-fil-A to spread the gospel, and to this day, that's what they're doing. And that's one of the most blessed fast food franchises in the world right now, isn't it? You're in the line, right, in the car, driving up. They got it down, you know. They got it down. And they're still not open Sundays. And they have the highest sales per square foot of any fast food business in the industry. This is all glory to God. Their CEO is a godly Christian man. He does business seminars that teach people who are in American business and international business how to let the Lord guide them and give them the wisdom to prosper their companies. The principles are found all through the scriptures. So this poor guy, this third person, really blew it. And so the Lord's answering him. And it's very clear, the conversation. God knows the heart, and so he called him out on his wickedness, his laziness. You wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. So the guy that had the most success in the expansion of the wealth of the Lord was given the extra talent, because he's obviously the most capable in getting the goal of what God had planned and anticipated. For to everyone who has more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. So this is the law of sowing and reaping. What is it that I have that's really God's gift and blessing? And how much of it is the Lord's? It's all his. In the Old Testament, he had a principal 10%. But in the New Covenant, it's all like anything from 1 to 100 is a gift. So how do we, in our lives, in our time, talents, and treasures, utilize the resources that we've been entrusted with? That's confidential between you and the Lord, and how he challenges you and how he convicts you. Every year, for Cindy and I, even when we were poor and starting out, we always had this like principle that we tried to live by, that every year we wanted to give more to the Lord's work than we ever did before. Every year, even if it was a small incremental growth. I mean, it was, and we never saw the Lord shortchange us in regard to the sowing. The sowing was always endeavoring to be abundant so that we could reap a harvest of abundance. And this isn't like TV prosperity stuff here today. This is biblical truth that's in the Word of God. You know, anytime people say, that's prosperity stuff, because they don't want to share what it is they have, right? But it's a personal conviction. So for me, being challenged, it's just not about the money, but the money is the application here. It's about my gifting as a pastor. What does God want to do in my life to make it more beneficial to you? I have to be open to that and be challenged. What can I do better that you guys are fed more abundantly? And I know Gene and the worship team, they practice hard so that they can bring forth something of worth to the Lord that would lift Jesus up. That's all we want to do, have Jesus lifted up in everything we do. And so as you listen to this message today and think about it, allow the Lord to speak to your heart about it. I believe that most of us in here are the first two servants. I don't see anybody in here like that third servant. You wouldn't even be here if you were like the third servant. I'm not going to church. I might get COVID. Right? And the Lord says, well, yeah, you're going to probably get it anyway, no matter where you go. The mall, the movie theater. You know, the Spider-Man movie was packed out. I don't know if anybody saw it. I heard it's a great movie. My grandkids all went. It's like a movie theater. People screaming, yelling, laughing, coughing. You know, it's like, but we pray that it's it's going to go down, and the statistics, even though it's growing again, it's less severe because of the Omicron not being as virulent as the Delta. And we pray to the Lord about all that stuff too. But anyway, as the worship team comes forward, this reflect on this chapter yourself, this section of talents. Ask God, is my life being used to the capacity that you want to use it? My time? I'm so excited. Every time I see someone step up to some new ministry in here, I know that God's already challenging you. It's not me beating the pulpit and saying, we need help in kids ministry. We do, but hey, I'm trusting the Lord, as Pastor Lewis is, for God to put it on your hearts and to have joy and want to serve the kids. It's not a negative thing. It's a positive thing, you know. And the worship team, if you have, and then big if you can sing, if you know how to play instruments, you know, if you just say, well, I think it'd be cool up here playing drums. I never played them before. I don't see anybody here today. So maybe I can get on there and try it. And no, that's not how we do it here. Come and practice and find out if it's your calling and your gifting, right? We all have different gifts and callings here. So thank you for listening today and showing up. Spread the message around, and let's prepare our hearts for the Lord's Supper. And the Lord gave it all for us, didn't he? He gave it all for us. This thing is not opening up here. You know, in the early church, they had a big loaf of bread. And they passed it around, you broke it off. They had a cup of wine, and it was real wine. It was fermented because, you know, the people, some of them were getting drunk at the agape feast. They were drinking too much, right? But we have this portable thing to make it easier here, COVID safe, but sometimes you can't get that thing open. And you think, Lord, don't you want me to take the supper today? Is there something in my heart? You're warning me? Don't take it. So sometimes I just drink the juice because I can't get the bread out. So the Jesus, what he said on that night in that upper room. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread in his hands and he broke it. And he gave thanks. How could someone give thanks when they've been betrayed? Only the Lord. He said, take, eat. This is my body, which was given for you. Eat this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he took the cup. He said, this cup is a new covenant in my blood, which is shed for the forgiveness of sins of many. Drink this in remembrance of me. For as often as we eat this bread and we drink this cup together, we show the Lord's death till he comes again. Amen. God bless you guys. Happy New Year.